This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
This episode is brought to you by Our Pilates, physio-led on-demand Pilates classes designed for new mums of all fitness levels and at any stage of their postpartum journey. I particularly love the 8-week postnatal program. It's designed and instructed by Han, who's not only a physiotherapist, she's also a mother of two with 15 years of experience. This program is the perfect way to build up some strength in a way that is safe. It's done from home. It doesn't take up too much time, which we know is hard to come by in the early days of motherhood. And guess what? They're giving Ready or Not listeners an entire free month of classes. To redeem your complimentary month of Our Pilates and access a huge library of classes, simply head to their website in our show notes, that's ourpilates.com.au, and enter the code READYORNOT, all one word, when creating an account and select the monthly membership option. Rebuild strength and confidence from the comfort of your home during nap times whenever you get a moment to yourself, and enjoy the feeling with Our Pilates. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show by Ready or Not that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work work. I'm Lou.
I'm Loz, kicking things off with a good news story. For the first time, women have achieved gender parity in big screen lead roles. So in 2024, women led 42% of the top 100 grossing films, matching male-led films for the first time ever. And in a separate study, female-led or co-led films hit 54%, up from 30% in 2023. Pretty bloody good.
Bloody oath.
For the film industry. Let's be real. I mean, we obviously still need a bit more representation. We can never stop until we are at minimum 50, but I'm digging that stat for today. Really digging
it. It's good too, because it's at the epicenter of what everyone consumes, which is everyone's consuming, or most people are consuming, some form of television and film. So it is a very, I guess, like, I don't even know what my word is there, like a concentrated place for us all to see representation.
Yeah, love that. I love that. Love it.
Lozzie, you have a few follow-ups for me.
Oh, do you know what? I've got a couple. I am now at the age where Sienna actively listens to what I'm saying and repeats it, but she doesn't fully understand the context of it.
Yeah, I'm nervous. What's she done?
So, I mean, she said a couple of things recently. I don't know if I've already spoken about the stupid comment with Kinder?
If you have, I've forgotten. So please repeat it.
Okay. So, sometimes when I'm in the car and I need to be more mindful of my language, I will say things like, oh, it's a stupid driver. Or
yes. My version of that is much more R-rated, but I totally get you. Yeah. It's not like you're assigning it to a specific person that you know, you're saying it to your husband, but when you're in the car, you're getting a little ragey.
Yes. And I try not to swear. So my kind of thing is, okay, don't swear, but instead I use these words that obviously my children are listening to. So at kinder the other day, the teacher said, oh, hey, we just want to chat to you about some of Sienna's language. And I was like, oh, sure. No problem. She's like, oh, she's been muttering under her breath when she can't do something that it's stupid. And I was like, oh, God.
Oh, my God. That's a bit of a heartbreaker. I feel for you.
I know. And she's like, oh, look, I just want to get on the same page so that we can make sure that we're doing the same things at home. And I was like, okay, cool. So I spoke to Ryan about it and I was like, oh, God, what do we say we're doing at home? He's like, I don't know. So what do we say? Like, if you don't do this, we'll put your toys in the bin. We'll take you to the police station. We'll drive you past a naughty girl's home. I'm like, oh, my God, we actually can't do any of that. And it's been a real eye-opening.
That's like
moment.
Parenting not 101 in today's society.
I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's made me really rethink our actual parenting strategies, because you know what? I'll admit it. We do say those things. All the time.
Oh, look, we've all been there. Like, sometimes I do things that I'm like, this is not good parenting and I know it, but in this point in time, I have nothing else in my toolkit. This is the best I can do.
Exactly right. And then there's been like other instances where Sienna has repeated things completely out of context. What's another one that I can think of for you? Anyway, she said a couple of things. So the stupid comment is one. She's also been responding when I ask her to do things. Instead of saying no, she'll say never, never. And I've caught myself on the phone to girlfriends saying things in context like, I would never. I would never, I would never. And then I listened to her repeat it back. She was never, as in I'm not
I
doing
would
that. And the worst one,
never.
this is the worst one. I often say to my children when they're doing something bad or that's not in line with what I think they should be doing, naughty. That's what I say. It's a complete sentence, naughty. And the other day she was in the car with Zave and they were both kind of attacking each other. You know, when you were kids, you used to do that. Smack each other's hands, whatever. It's normal behavior. They started both screaming at each other, naughty, naughty. Like literally, it went on for 5 minutes. And I honestly looked at Ryan, and all I could think about was, that is
That
me.
came from me.
So if anybody out there is just wondering, where do your kids get it from? It's probably you. And
Yeah, it's
also,
probably
just,
you.
you know,
It comes back to that
let
meme
it
that I think
slide.
I've mentioned a few times on this show, which is the nature versus nurture, whichever way it's still your fault. I love that
Yeah.
so much. It's either your
It's
genes or
true.
the way you're bringing them up within your household. Either way, it's your fault. No wonder us parents feel so bloody stressed, hey?
Exactly. Two other things, updates from me. Number one, I do not know about you because you have been traveling in a tropical climate. Sickness this year has been out
You've had a
of
really rough start. I keep
control.
forgetting.
No, everyone. Everyone. I have already heard of kids having influenza A or influenza D, which I've never heard of, rhinovirus. Like, we are in March now. How is this happening? What the hell's going to happen in June? Is everyone going to break out in measles? I'm freaking out. So, again, if your kid has been sick, feels girl, because I've taken more sick days in the first quarter of the year than I ever have over the
Oh,
entirety of my career.
wow.
Another one, just to make all those mums feel like they're, you know, doing their best they can, feel a bit better, because this week I was rushing out the door to get Sienna to kinder, and I was literally rushing. We were rushing to get her changed, get her in the car. I think, I don't know why, but like I had assumed because the night before she had her PJs on, she'd had her underpants on. We get to kinder and Sienna goes, I don't have underpants on.
To you
I
or
was like, what do you
the teacher?
mean? No, to me. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, I'm not wearing undies. I was like,
She's like,
well,
I
where are
am free
they?
bowling and it feels
Yeah.
great.
And do you know what's even worse? We're at a stage now where I don't really pack a pair of spare underpants because
Because she
not
doesn't
that we
really have
move past.
accidents.
Well,
What a
she's four,
ledge.
so it's very limited.
Yeah.
Where I pack them normally would be in her daycare bag or her kindergarten bag. The one time I search for underpants, do you think they are there?
Loz, I think everyone listening will be so relieved to hear this from you because you are that person that seems like she's just always organized, always has it together. It's good for us plebs to hear that you don't. You fucked up and we're happy.
I absolutely, but lately it's been so bad. It has been so bad. And all I could say to her was, okay, I didn't want to, this is how bad it is. I didn't want to admit to the teacher that I'd forgot to put underpants on my kid. And I was like, well, remember, Sienna, our bodies are private. And she's like, my vagina, like everything's like a B, my
Darling,
vagina. And like going to like lift her dress up, I'm
vagina.
like, I'm going to have to say something. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I forgot underpants today. The look that I got was like a how? This is like
Really?
a
Was
basic
it?
necessity.
Was it a bit
Yeah.
judgy? Or was it more just
Oh,
like
yeah, for
dumbfounded?
sure.
Yeah, judgy. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway,
Okay.
so this is where I'm excelling at this week. I also want to touch on the point that Ryan is still away. So he has gone to the UK for a couple of weeks. And originally, I would say it was really nice. I actually quite enjoyed it, if I'm honest. My house was clean. The kids were in bed. There is none of this like dad gets home. Oh, woohoo. Fun, 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 fun. No, no, no.
The
Straight to
fun
bed then. We have a
parent.
book. We have a book and then we go to sleep.
You're on mummy's schedule now.
No fun. But I would say I've got a
Starting to
solo
feel it.
work trip for Sydney coming up, and I've never been more excited to go on a work trip in my life. I might even do a vlog, which is unlike me.
I actually
I
really
might do
want you
a
to. I was
day in the
going to
life
say,
of,
that's what I was going to
a
get you to
day in the
do.
life of.
Yes,
I'll do it.
vlog that
I'll
up,
do it because I'm
sweetie.
that
Who's got the
stoked. I'm
kids?
that stoked.
Because Ryan's still away, isn't he? Or does he get
Ryan is
home?
still away. No. So he's still away. So we've got our babysitter helping, my dad is helping, and our next door neighbor, who's also a good friend, is doing the morning shift. My flight is at 7:30, so she's coming over at 5:30 a.m. to do the
Imagine.
drop off, and then I've got our babysitter picking her up. My dad's, yeah, Don't
Are
worry.
you just
There's
going
a
for a night or
spreadsheet.
two? I don't doubt
I'm actually
that.
for work, I'm going away for 2 nights. And then Ryan is actually joining me for a weekend as like a little baby moon.
Oh my God, how have you left this out? This is lit.
Can I also just tell you something else funny? Another
Please keep
lol. Sorry, it
telling
just
me
came to
things.
mind. I'm sorry. I'm just rambling on this morning. Another lol for you. I said to Ryan, oh, hey, let's stay at this place. He's like, yep, sounds good. And I was like, oh, I can get this deal for X amount, blah, blah, blah. I sent him like an image and he's like, yeah, sounds good. Book it. And then he wrote back after I booked it, because I booked things immediately. After he wrote back, oh, that room looks a bit small. Should we get a bigger room? And I said, oh, we won't be spending much time in the room. Who cares? He's like, wow, how times have changed. I was like, yeah.
Did you used to spend a lot of time in hotel rooms?
Maybe when I was like 20,
Yeah,
but
like
I
for
was
the
like,
first
sorry,
3 weeks
mate.
that you got together.
Times really have changed. We won't be spending any time in
If
that
you think
room.
this is a fuck fest, you're wrong.
You're sadly
This
mistaken.
is a sleep fest with a bit of gorgeous eating and like a few lovely little walks.
Might even put a face mask on and
Yeah.
sleep in it.
In
How
fact, right, you
exciting.
actually don't have to come. Like, I love you, but you don't have to
We
come
don't need to
this
be there.
weekend away. I have a question for you before we get to it today. What are weird prepping things that you do when not necessarily just working from home, but anything that you prep ahead of work? What are some weird little things that you've picked up on that you do? So, for example, for me, even if you and I were recording at 4 p.m. on a day, I would have to enter everything into the production schedule the night before. Like, I need to sleep on things. And it's the same for when I used to work on presentations or whatever when I was working at Cricket Australia, or even just my freelance work. I always have to, even if it's at the end of the day, I have to do it before I go to sleep. Like, there's something about prepping for something and then having time to sleep on it that is an essential for me. The other thing that I do is, even if it's on a Zoom meeting, I always brush my teeth before a meeting. I'd love to know, what weird little work prep things do you do? Oh, so that's
Oh,
weird. The toothbrushing thing is weird. Yeah, I could tell by the look on your face.
it's so weird. Sometimes I brush my hair.
Okay, sometimes. Gorgeous. So we're going to meetings without brushed hair. Gorgeous, gorgeous.
Sometimes, no, I'll rebrush it so it's flatter, it sits nicer,
Stunning.
which is also odd. I have a great photo to post of this, not necessarily work-wise, but I am like such a control freak when it comes to scheduling kids. So I'll never forget when we went away, Ryan and I for like 2 nights, and my brother stayed. Like, my brother knows our family inside out. I packed all of the kids' clothes in piles for what to wear every day, and I put post-it notes on it like day one, Thursday.
Did you look up the weather? That's psychotic even for you. I'm
I
sorry.
did,
What?
and my brother sent me photos, and I've got them, and I should post them because they're so funny, of
You
Sienna standing in her
absolutely need
daycare
them.
outfit with their sticker on. It said like day two,
Oh, Jazzy's
Thursday.
so funny. That's good. I'm picturing as well, because I've been on this caravan trip. You know how in caravan parks they always have like a board up with the weather for like the next day or two? I'm picturing
Yes.
you've got that up next to each outfit. That is
I am,
psychotic.
it's cooked. It's
I'm going to
actually
put this to the
cooked.
pollers, find out what other people do to prepare for the kids or work or whatever it is.
The brushing the teeth thing is odd because no one can smell your breath
I
via
know, but I
Zoom.
think I feel fresh. I feel on. I feel ready to attack. I feel
Oh,
ready to
okay.
pounce.
I mean, I
What are
like
we
it. I'm
talking
here for
about
it.
today? I feel like we've already done an episode, but let's get to
I
it.
know.
Loz is sick of hearing from child attachment experts. She has experts in quotation marks. I cannot wait to hear about this. And why has adjusting to my post-baby body been harder the second time around? This comes from Nell Frizzell, a former guest writing for British Vogue. And we have some thoughts. Take it away, my friend.
Why are there suddenly a million parenting experts shaming everyone?
You feeling a
I
bit
don't know if
fired
it's
up, my
just
friend?
me. Look, I don't know if it's just me being heavily pregnant. And also, I hate to admit it, but I am somewhat worried that I am really going to spread myself thin, like love-wise or like TLC-wise with 3 children. So it's very much
So you're
like
really thinking
front
about
of
attachment and all of
mind.
that. That's really interesting.
I am. Yeah, I really, really am, because there's something so sad. Like, I remember around the birth of Xavier, like a couple of nights before, I just could not stop crying. And Ryan was like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "I just feel like I'm mourning the loss of like our family of three." And
Yeah.
it just made me really sad that I would have to share that with another child. But I also feel like this time around, we've got such a beautiful little family dynamic. I'm throwing a third one into the mix. And, you know, you go to all these like middle child, like eldest child, youngest child kind of Instagram social posts coming my way. And I'm like, oh my God, like, am I going to be able to give my kids what they need? Anyway, that's just where my mind's at.
It's interesting that you bring this up to me now, because every now and then when like the idea of a third does enter my mind, which to be honest, isn't very often, but I always think how compounded that is to go from two to three. I'm not saying like you will find a way and it will be fine, but I understand, because it's not just dividing into two now, it's dividing into three. And something else that has become really apparent to me in that is Sienna got all of you at the start. Zave never had all of you. My version of that is Ray and Posey. And then I always think about Posey in that equation of having a third, of that she never had all of me without another sibling, and now she's going to have another.
Yes. Yes. It's actually not Sienna. You're right. It's more Zave. I feel this like enormous sense of guilt and like sorrow, like sadness.
I totally get it.
It's an odd, very complex frame of mind. Sorry, I'm obviously very into this whole extra things, but I will say, I don't think it's just me. Every time I open Instagram or I tune into a podcast, there's another child attachment, and I want to put expert warning mothers about the irreversible harm that they'll cause if you dare to work, use daycare, or even look away for a second. Where did they all come from? Like, why is this happening all of a sudden? And why does it feel like their main job is to guilt women and mothers in particular into submission? So over the past decade, we've seen a massive surge in parenting experts, especially in the realm of attachment theory. And while I do agree it is important to consider child development research, I'm all about research, as you know, there is a concerning trend where expert opinions are being weaponized against mothers who are simply trying to survive and provide for their families. A classic example of this, and you know what's odd about this one? I loved this episode. We have had a couple of DMs suggesting that we listen to this episode because so many of our listeners got something out of it. I don't disagree. I also agree. I think there's some really relevant points. But there's a couple, and this was an episode featuring Dr. Erica Homazar. There's a couple
was
of
was it on Diary of CEO? I feel like we need to tell the people
yes,
where it was.
Stephen Bartlett. Yes, it was. And there was a couple of topics that I can't shake. So number one, she was saying about the importance of maternal presence. So she emphasized the critical role of mothers in early childhood development, suggesting that extended maternal absence during early years could lead to attachment disorders.
And sorry, I just want to butt in quickly. Was she specifically talking about the mum? So this wasn't a parental figure. This was mum.
It was more so aimed at mums. And I think my gripe, to be honest, and we'll play some clips from it, is the way or the tone or the language used feels very aggressive or very pointing
like
the finger,
fear-mongering.
And that's what bothers me.
Yeah.
Yes.
When women decided that it was cool to go to work and to work full-time out of the home, you know, everybody cheered and said, great, you know, women have the same rights as men and now everybody can be in the workforce and be independent and make money and do their own thing. Me, 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 me. The problem is that children were dropped. They were abandoned. What I say makes a lot of women and men feel guilty. And again, I don't see that as a bad thing. And I think when we tell parents to turn away from their guilt instead of turning toward it, when we turn towards our internal conflicts, we tend to make better decisions for ourselves, for our children, for our families. But when we turn away from those conflicts, we tend not to make good decisions, and those tend to have long-term consequences. What if they have passions? What if they have a career? The problem is children do best in extended family situations. So, you know, you can have a fabulous career and move far away from your family. And when you're young and single, and I even call it single when you're married but don't have children, you're still really single. Mm-hmm. You know what I say to parents is that your life won't be so fabulous if you have children and you're not present for them physically and emotionally, particularly in the early years.
Sorry. I know that there is obviously research around this topic, but I also want to put it into perspective. Most women need to work either for your mental sanity, for your financial well-being, for your independence, to have a purpose outside of children, regardless of what it is. We are no longer, in my view, in an economy where the majority of women can afford, from any of those perspectives, to stay at home.
And do you know what pisses me off about that is that these sorts of conversations, like you and I agree that there's parts of childcare that is flawed, and that if a mum wants to stay home with her kids, it would be amazing if there was a way that government could pay, because then she contributes to the economy in all these other ways, right? But what pisses me off about these, and that you're speaking about so well, is that they're really targeted at mums. Like if you have issues with society, yes, and the way these things are structured, take it to fucking Congress, take it to government, take it to the society structures. Don't just target mums because you know that's how you're going to get your clickbait. It's so infuriating.
It is. The next thing she touches on, which is a big pain point for me because all of my children have gone through daycare for reasons of they have to go. Like there aren't other options. Even though my family is amazing, they still need care. So she raised potential issues associated with daycare, implying that reliance on such services might contribute to future developmental challenges for children. She also touched on the fact that there's an alarming trend of falling birth rates, which is, she says, highlighting societal shifts that may pressure women to prioritize careers over starting families. How about we actually look at it from a different point of view and we look at the cost of living too?
Yeah.
Children, wonderful as they are also fucking expensive, and they change your life inevitably in a number of aspects that you cannot even begin to talk about until you have them. So if people choose to have kids, if they choose to have one instead of two, this is just a natural progression of society, in my view. I don't think it's because women are like, I want to be a career woman. In some cases it may be, but I think there's a bunch of other reasons why. And why are we suggesting to women, like, you shouldn't have a career, you should be wanting to be a mum? No, mate. Like,
and also,
let everyone do their own thing.
Also look at climate in all of this. Like there is a climate crisis on our hands and we're talking about declining birth rates as if this is the scariest thing happening to the world, when we know that the scariest thing happening to humanity is climate change. Another really interesting thing that is often left out of this debate is that because of globalization and because of a world that is more inclusive and empowering for women, women realize now that they don't just have to be a mum, that there's other really valid choices out there outside of motherhood. It's not all just because of what she talks about.
Exactly. So why is this happening now? So obviously there's a social media influence. So platforms like Instagram, TikToks give rise to a new generation of self-proclaimed experts. Anyone with an opinion or a degree or a following can now position themselves as an authority. But how often are these hot takes rooted in peer-reviewed research versus personal bias or outdated information? Some of this research is from like fucking 1970. Cultural pressure. So I have found personally there's a very nostalgic obsession with traditional motherhood, that trad wife trend that we see, but it ignores the modern reality. So many of these experts term daycare as damaging without acknowledging the economic necessity for most families. And when women today are fighting for equal pay and access to leadership roles, shaming them for working feels regressive, in my opinion. And let's also not, you know, pass the point that fear sells. So parenting is already an anxiety-inducing gig, particularly because no one can really be an expert because every child is different and you're different and what might work.
And you're
for
making
one,
it up
another.
As you go along. So the pressure is enormous. Like sometimes I question what I'm doing, but you're already in the work of it. So firstly, you don't get much time to think about how is the best way to parent because you're already in it and it's really hard to plan for these things when you don't know what your child is going to be like. And next up, we don't get a test run at this. So we're all just doing our fucking best.
We are. And one girlfriend said to me, and she's a marketer, and I just love the way that she framed it. She said, it is emotional marketing disguised as science. I'm like, that is so spot on.
Put that on a
billboard.
Spot
on. Spot on. So I want to just quickly outline why I think there's so many problems with this narrative. I don't think it's just annoying. I actually think it's dangerous. So we're placing unrealistic expectations on mothers that they must be ever present, self-sacrificed and entirely focused on their child's emotional needs. That is impossible and it's unfair. I also think working mothers already juggle enough. I certainly do, as do you. And being told that we're damaging our children for earning a living adds unnecessary emotional strain. The attachment theory, I'm not an expert, and from what I have read, it is so complex and it is often reduced to sound bites that lack nuance. So a loving, consistent caregiver, from what I've read, whether it's a parent, a grandparent, an educator, is always going to, given the right circumstances, foster healthy attachment. We don't have to be doing above and beyond. We can keep it simple.
If you've got a loving home and you do spend time with your children, which I'm sure you do, even if you work, you spend a lot of time with your kids, then you're surely that's enough. Job. The other thing that always pisses me off about this, and that is so often left out of this conversation, is what's better, the guilt of doing something that I love and having time away from my children and then coming back to them stronger? Or is it better that I resent my partner, resent my children, because all of a sudden I am a sacrificial mother that does nothing for herself and is always there looking after my kids?
Another thing that I think is frequently left out is, what about the dads?
Yes.
From all the snippets I've seen online, experts aren't calling out dads. They're not suggesting to dads, work shorter hours, pick up your kids, or how are you outsourcing care? Like, it's just, it's not even a conversation that's being had. And I know that, like, in this talk, and I will preface it by saying, it was a great episode. I did take some good key takeaways from it, but underlying that episode, I just cannot get past the guilt framing of the way that she said things. It bothers me to my core, and probably because I am at a stage where I'm more susceptible to feeling really vulnerable, and I probably shouldn't have listened to that episode. But at the same time, I'm like, if I'm feeling like that, there's many other people that are feeling the same, and there are some valid points, but some of them just really rub me the wrong way. Like,
yeah,
on,
I just hate the way we target it. Like, the conversations are fair. Like, childcare being a for-profit industry feels wrong to me. That feels wrong in my bones. It is a bizarre concept. So, like, two things can be true. We can interrogate these systems and work on better systems, but I'm just so sick of it being targeted at the mums instead of society and government structures more broadly. I feel like all the efforts to make mums feel bad as opposed to actually influencing positive change that is realistic in today's cost of living and in today's economy.
Exactly. Mothers need more support. They need affordable childcare, workplace flexibility, and the freedom to define what good parenting looks like for their family. My advice to anybody, because I mean, obviously anyone can be an advice giver, for anyone that is in a similar situation to myself, is that the next time an expert, of which everyone is a self-proclaimed expert, tells you that you're doing something wrong, remember this: your love, effort, and choices made in the context of your family's needs matter more than any Instagram soundbite. So stop letting your guilt get in the way of your parenting and start trusting that what everybody's doing, honestly, is the best that they can. And it is being done in a way that 99% of the time works for them and their family. So let's just drop the guilt. And let's just drop the narrative. Baby. I don't want to hear any more sound bites about this attachment shit. I'm done. I've heard it. I don't care for it.
Take it to Parliament. Get the change that is actually rooted in a lot of science and will be better for our kids. Don't come to us to make us feel worse about ourselves. Why has adjusting to my post-baby body been harder the second time around? Nell Frizzell opens this brilliant piece talking about the pregnant body and how we make so much of it. We uphold it. We admire it. We look at it. We can't believe it. And you're pregnant right now. And we're doing that to you. We think, wow, look at you, you goddess. And you think it too, which I love about you. You love a pregnant body. You used to make me send weekly pregnant photos for both of my pregnancies. In fact, Loz, I should share some of the screenshots because you're so funny. Every week you'd be like, glorious, it's done this week. Glorious, it's done that this week.
I love it.
Pregnant bodies more than anyone. But what about the postpartum bodies and especially that second time around? Nell Frizzell writes, but what about my postpartum body? How am I supposed to travel across this new landscape of my skin? The sinking mudflat of my stomach, the pendulous lava flow of my breasts, the foothills of my new large thighs, or the sand dune shifting of my chin. So beautifully put. Oh, I know what I'm supposed to say, that I celebrate my softness. I'm expected to cry loudly and confidently about the miracle my body has just performed, to talk about how I take strength from the incredible thing it did, to pay homage and gratitude for the new life, family, and future it has delivered me, which is all well and good. Until you're standing naked on your bedroom carpet and somehow every leaking corner, every enveloped edge, every thickened limb does not feel like yourself. I am not thinking of this body as good or bad, but I am thinking of it, I'm afraid, as other. Other to me, other to how I move and live and occupy physical space. In this moment, looking down at my recently revealed toes, I don't know myself. Obviously, Western capitalism has an answer. For about £20,000, I could book myself in for a so-called mummy makeover. It could include breast augmentation, an abdominoplasty, I don't even know that word, it means tummy tuck, liposuction, a thigh lift, brachioplasty, which means an arm lift, and labia minora reduction, which we know what that means.
Oh, girl. Yeah.
That's right. I could employ a private surgeon to reconfigure my body from the vulva outwards. According to at least one website, I'd be able to have sex 4 weeks afterwards, wear a bra after 6 weeks, and even have a shower the next day in hospital. But I can tell you right now, I don't think any of that would make this body feel like my body again. If anything, it would alienate me further from my physical existence. Only now I'd have new scars and no money to do up my kitchen at the end of it. Dr. Karen Gurney, the author of How Not to Let Having Kids Ruin Your Sex Life, once told me that intimacy is a more helpful focus than intercourse. But I'm afraid to say that I've lost my bottle for both. I'm struggling to believe that anyone, even my partner, can find me attractive. I touch my body and feel unmoored by this radical change in its consistency. I look different and move different and feel different. And that makes any kind of intimacy difficult because the flesh and muscle I live in are not intimately familiar to me at the moment. Am I going to rush the gym to build back better? No. Am I going to make like Bridget Jones or Nicole Kidman's Romy in Baby Girl and have an affair with a man 20 years younger than me? God, no. Am I going to start wearing linen tunics, walking boots, and refer to myself as a doyen? Also, no, but I am going to admit what's different because I know from experience that's the only way to get back to feeling normal. Now, Loz, I know you love your pregnant body and I was the same, but how did we feel after Zave, the second rodeo of postpartum?
I would say after one baby, your body goes back. I mean, maybe not to what it used to be, but for me, felt pretty chuffed.
I felt
with myself.
Fucking good 1 year postpartum after I am.
Yeah, so did I.
I'm showing my midriff in some photos. It's quite shocking to me now as I sit here 14 months postpartum with Posey.
Yes. But second time around, you've aged usually significantly, a couple of years. Your body knows what to do. That's what everybody tells you. Your body knows what to do, blah, 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 which means things inevitably stretch quicker and I go back slower. And you just kind of take a look at your body and everything is just not as tight or toned as it used to be. And it never goes back. Like it genuinely, I don't care what people say, unless you're flogging yourself.
Which is like another issue in and of itself, right? Like if you're obsessed with having a good body, then there's some issues there too.
Who has the time? But I get what she's saying. And I'm also all about, I have said a million times, after this third kid, I'm getting the works. I don't know what that looks like for me yet, but I am.
What are you
1,000%. I really want to get laser on my face to get rid of pigmentation.
Yeah.
I want to get Botox. I really want to get the spider veins in my legs removed. That's a big one because that has been huge during pregnancy. I don't know what else I want to do yet. I'm not sure, but I'm not opposed to anything.
I'm interested to know because I think, yes, queen, go forth. But I'd be lying to you if I didn't think I also made me a little bit sad that you felt like you should do these things or that they will make you feel better. I feel like two things can be true in this regard. How do you feel about that when I say that?
I mean, for me, that would, I think, make me feel better. So
but do you think it's sad that we've gotten to this point in society where those things do make us feel better or that we feel like we have to try and look like our old selves?
I mean, sometimes, but I also think that if the end outcome is about you personally having body positivity,
yeah,
go for it. I don't think you need to get those things done. And it's a very, very much like a personal preference thing. But sometimes I look at my body and I'm so grateful, exactly the same as like to what it's done and what I've produced and rah, rah. But I'm also like, I can't be bothered, quite frankly, to wreck myself in the gym or to eat lettuce for 5 months straight or to follow a strict regime and get I don't even want that. That's not where I'm attaining to be. I just want a slight little improvement in areas that matter most to me. And with minimal effort, if I'm quite, yeah. if I'm quite frank.
That's fair. And I also think if that's what you want to do, fucking go for it. Like, we have been raised in this society to find a lot of worth in our beauty. So maybe it's not our fault. We can just blame everyone else. As I might look ugly, I actually feel my stomach literally sitting on my thighs, which is a terrible feeling. I'm not going to pretend that, like, I love my body and it created life and I'm so fine with this. In this moment, it feels gross that I can just feel a little bit of sweat between my bulging tummy and my thigh. But I have definitely felt this the second time around. My body has not bounced back in any shape or form to the way it did after Ray. I think I was the slimmest I'd been in some years at a year postpartum with Ray. That is not where I sit today. I have a really terrible confession. When I was at Tathra, there were all these lovely, gorgeous women around the pool. But there was one thing I noticed about all of us. We all had soft tummies. And for a moment, I judged us all. I went, look at our mum tums. Isn't this sad? These people were beautiful. They were healthy. They were glorious. They were all different sizes and shapes and whatnot, but they were beautiful. And here I was still judging slightly without pulling myself up on it. I was judging their mum tum. It was a terrible feeling. It's actually been something I've been thinking about a lot this holiday too, because I've been with my family and I've been with Hayden for so long that I don't care too much what he thinks. Of course, I would love to look a bit better because we just unfortunately are that way inclined. And I would love for him to look at me and be like, damn girl, she looks tight. However, because I'm quite comfortable in our relationship, I'm not too worried about what he sees when he sees me in a bikini. However, we are at the very end of this caravan trip meeting up with heaps of our friends and all of their little kids for our last sort of stop on this trip. And I am genuinely terrified at the idea of getting into my bathers in front of all of them. So while I haven't cared on this trip with my family, it does affect me. Like, I don't want to get my kid off. All of these people think of Lucy as like the ex-yoga teacher. Yeah, she's always been pretty healthy and fit. I don't look that way at all. And I do not want to be just in my bathers in front of them.
I am more of the opinion of I want to look good for myself. Like, to be real, this sounds terrible. If Ryan and I had a list, I mean, I'm not suggesting anybody do this, and I'm not suggesting I would ever do this, but if we had a list of postpartum and I said to Ryan, okay, what things would you want to change about my body and what things would I want to change about my body, they would look completely different.
That's so true.
Because the things that he might care about would be...
let's inject some fat into your tits, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd be like, no, I'm happy with that aspect. I'm happy with having small perch boobs. It's just, it's so personal, and it's such a personal preference on what matters to you.
Do you know what also? No one cares as much about what your body looks like because they're worried about what their fucking body looks like. So that's a really good reminder, what you just said, of what Ryan would pick versus what you would pick, which would be the same for guys, right? Our list of like what, how I'd improve Hayden in this weird toxic world that we're currently talking about versus what he would do for himself. Like, he'd probably ask for, I don't know. Actually, I'm not even going there.
I feel so awkward listening to this.
Yes, this is your cousin. No, I forget this.
It's true, but I do think we need to acknowledge that sometimes all this like positive self-talk is so great and it is so needed, but it's also not realistic.
It can be a bit tox-pos too. It's like, yes, it's all well and good to admire the body that brought life into this world, but also you've been told since you were a kid that women's value is in their beauty. So of course you're going to feel a bit shit, and actually that's okay. Like, that is an okay way to feel.
Yeah.
When your body's been this way for your whole life, it's okay to feel shit that it now looks different.
And I think the best thing that you can do as a friend for someone that is in postpartum, if they're like, far out, my tummy feels like a donut, it's like jelly, which is totally normal. That's
how I feel.
And you're like, but you go touch it and it's like your hand disappears into your stomach. And you're like, where did my organs
go? You've just been the hardest you've ever felt.
Yes. It's so bizarre. It's like, why can my whole hand fit in my stomach? It's the weirdest thing. Sometimes it's better off for your friend to say, yeah.
Totally get it. Yeah.
I totally get it. And it can feel a bit shit. You'll get back to where you need to be when you need to.
As we're speaking about this, something else that is very present for me is that it often lines up with a bad period of fitness, or bad in inverted commas, because you haven't been working out. If you have a young baby or even just with kids, you might not work out the way you used to. And so you can really beat yourself up about this double whammy of like, I used to be this fit person that did X, Y, and Z in a week, and now I'm lazy. So those two things really feed into each other. The last thing I want to bring up here, I put this on our Instagram stories and everyone was pretty unanimous that the second time around, they felt way worse about themselves. One person mentioned that it was actually during pregnancy the second time around that they really hated their body. They found it impossible to talk themselves out of not just thinking that they were fat, and really what they were was heavily pregnant, but this person was saying, like, I couldn't give myself that self-talk. I just felt fat. Another person said they're definitely feeling it, but that they're very conscious of the way they talk about themselves in front of their kids. I have caught myself saying in front of Ray, mummy's fat tummy, and I was mortified when it came out of my mouth because I never want him to think that that's a way that he can talk about himself or talk about anyone else. So that's a really important one. Also, just lastly here for a bit of a laugh before we sign off, you can't script this shit. You know how on websites there's like the custom ads that you can tell, like, they went to Vogue UK and got that ad put on the British Vogue website. And then there's ads that are like your auto sort of ads that would follow you around the internet. I don't even know what to call them.
Yeah.
These auto ads on this article said, achieve perfect thighs with this photo of this size 6 perky bum with the perfect legs. And I was like, no wonder we all have fucking body issues. That right there on this article talking about Nell having issues with her second time around postpartum body is this perfect size ad. You cannot script it, Lozzie.
You can't. And that's just a classic telltale sign of the pressures that women face every day on every platform that you read and look at. Having said that, now that we've spoken about this, what are the odds that I get served of that fucking slimming tea?
Oh my God. Have you seen that? Wasn't that a time to be alive? What? Is that back? Remember skinny me tea and all that shit? My God, that was a time.
So funny? I used to take it. I used to love it. I look back on that time and I'm pretty sure it was just a diuretic.
Like let's get you shitting as much as you can. We won't worry about nutrient absorption. Let's just get you shitting, my friend.
No, Mom, it's like, actually were so slim.
Yeah, fucking owned. Mum and I actually bought a juice cleanse once. It was pressed juices. We got to the first juice cleanse of the day and we both said, what the fuck are we doing? Let's return them. So we got a store credit and returned to the 3-day juice cleanse. We realized we were being very silly girls. So what's our takeaway here, Lozzie? Give a positive reinforcement message to the people with us in their ears. As I'm literally touching my tummy, like you can see it.
Oh, no, I can see. Your body is going to change inevitably after children. I will happily show you what mine looks like after the third one, because it's funny how you become so obsessed with yourself when you're pregnant, because everything does feel tight and stretched, but it's like in like a neat shape. And then once it's not tight and stretched, you're like, woo, 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 what happened here? I think the kind of takeaway is that you just have to feel good in whatever body you desire to have.
Yeah.
Whether that's slightly larger than before, whether you do want to get back to your 18-year-old self, whatever that looks like for you, you do that.
You do you, boo.
Yeah. You do you.
Let's sign off.
If you have loved today's episode, please follow us on RadioNot.pod and leave us a positive review. And we shall see you when Lucy is back in Melbourne, finally, probably to shocking weather, next week. See you later.
See you then.